What is it that makes you cry? Is it a sad film? Is it a sad book? Is it sort of sometimes when you can't get things right, or some physical pain, or listening to me preach? What is it that makes you cry? I remember reading an interview with Graham Taylor, who was had been the England football manager, with all the negativity that goes with that. And he was asked, what was the worst moment in your life? And his response was, when I dropped my eldest daughter at university for the first time. I thought, what a load of tosh. Until I dropped my daughter at university for the first time and struggled to drive home with the tears flowing down. What is it? What is it that makes you weep? What is it that makes you cry? It may be many things. What we see in that reading there is these words. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Now, why? I remember many years back in a previous church, getting in contact with a guy who was in his sort of late 50s, and we chatted together, and he was sort of growing towards Christian things. He came onto a Christianity Explained course with me, and coming to church. And at the end of one of our Christianity Explained courses, he said to me, Ian, can I just have a word with you? And I said, fine. And we had a chat, and he said, can I get this right? If I believe in Jesus, when I die, I'll go to heaven. And I said, yeah, that's it. He said, but if my family don't believe in Jesus, they won't. I said, well, it's not mine to judge who goes to heaven and who doesn't go to heaven. I said, but roughly that's right. And then he said, then I don't want to go to heaven. I want to be where my family are. And he stopped coming to church. He stopped coming to the Christianity Explained group. And about two or three years later, he died. And I did his funeral. And at the end of the funeral, I did weep. Because he had the offer of life in Jesus. And I felt, I can't say where he was in eternity, but I felt he had rejected Jesus and all that Jesus had for him. Now, here is Jesus who comes to Jerusalem and he weeps over Jerusalem. And he wept over Jerusalem because of their rejection of him that was coming up. It wasn't a surprise to him that they were going to reject him. He told his disciples over and over again that they would go to Jerusalem and that he would be put to death. But still, that rejection caused him to weep. Let's just go through the events of that day and see what it was that led to Jesus' sadness. And the first thing I'd like us to notice, that it was a planned approach. It was a planned approach. As we read the events there, we see that it was planned. Jesus had walked from Galilee all the way down. He'd come to Jericho. He'd walked up the hill from Jericho to Bethany. And now he prepared to go down the Mount of Olives, through Bethpage, and into Jerusalem. A colt, rather than a grown donkey, was fetched for him with the owner's permission so that Jesus could take this last part of the journey riding on this colt. Now, given that it was downhill, it was the easiest part of the journey. But Jesus was making a point which Luke picks up for us. Matthew, in his gospel, explains that what Jesus was doing was fulfilling the prophecy made in Zechariah, depicting the coming of a king. And so what Jesus was showing is here is he is coming as king into his city. But the fact that he was on a colt, a borrowed colt, also shows something, that he comes as a humble king, coming to make peace. And that's reflected in those words in verse 42. If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace. So here is Jesus on this planned event, coming as king to bring peace. And we see that as he did so, he was received with joy by many. Having brought the colt to Jesus, the disciples put coats on it. And verse 36, as he went along the road, people spread their cloaks on the road. The disciples were responding to Jesus' action, Jesus' symbolic action. They're responding to it, recognizing him as king. They laid the cloaks not just on the colt, but on the road, signifying that this was a royal personage, Jesus, coming to them as king. And that's backed up by their voices. If you look at verses 37 and 38, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They acted to recognize him as king. They proclaimed him as king, God's Messiah. Last Sunday afternoon, there was a football match between Newcastle and Sunderland. You can perhaps understand the rivalry was intense, and Sunderland won. Now, I should imagine that before the game, during the game, after the game, many things were said and shouted from the crowd. But what the press picked up on was the abuse hurled at the Newcastle manager, Eddie Howe. That was what they picked up on. That was what they felt was newsworthy. That's what they wanted to report. Now, as Jesus came down that Mount of Olives towards the gates of Jerusalem, I'm sure there were many things that were said, many things that were shouted. But Luke picked up on just two, because these are part of the narrative that he's presenting to us. The crowd shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Words taken from Psalm 118, proclaiming the coming of God's King. And they shouted, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The King who's bringing peace. And those last words contain an echo, don't they, of the cry of the angels in Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. The birth of Jesus shows God's desire for peace. In a sense, peace on earth. But the coming of Jesus as king into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday shows the ultimate act of peace that would take place on the cross, bringing peace between heaven and earth. Now, I don't know exactly what the disciples meant when they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," or "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth." But I do know that what Luke is trying to show us is Jesus as King and Saviour coming into Jerusalem and being received as both by this crowd around him. But as we see on that Palm Sunday, not everybody could receive him. Verse 39, look at it with me if you would. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Asking Jesus to rebuke the disciples shows that the Pharisees didn't think that they were doing what God wanted. Now, the Pharisees have made their minds up about Jesus already. If you've got a Bible open, if you look, just look across to the top of page 1054, verse 14, it says, "We don't want this man to be our king." It's a parable that Jesus was telling, but that's the attitude of the Pharisees. They'd made their mind up that this Jesus was not going to be their king. And so as he approached Jerusalem, they rejected him as king, and they wouldn't receive the peace that he came to bring. Not our king. And Jesus replies, in a sense, is slightly ironic. I tell you, if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out. He was looking for them to receive him as king and to acknowledge that in their words. But if they wouldn't, well, even the stones, the inanimate objects, would do so. They couldn't. They couldn't accept him as their king. And they couldn't do that because, as we see in verse 42, it's hidden from your eyes. And that's why Jesus wept. He wept, in a sense, in frustration that they couldn't see it, but he wept for what they were missing. That here was God's king coming to bring them peace, and they couldn't see it. And verse 44, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. It was their inability. Their inability to recognize what God the Father was doing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then their rejection of him as God and Savior that made him cry over that city. That was the same sadness I felt in the funeral I mentioned earlier. Jesus was sad. And he was sad because this matters. This is a matter of life and death. This is a matter affecting people's eternal destiny. So when your friend says to you, now, I don't think Jesus is for me, I hope you share that same sadness that Jesus has, because it matters. It matters. Earlier in Luke's Gospel, Jesus says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But here we see there is sadness in the heart of God over those who refuse to accept Jesus as Savior and King. And friends, if we're followers of Jesus, I do hope we weep over those who will not receive Jesus. Partly because they're missing out on the great joy and the blessing that are ours as followers of Jesus. But also because without him we face the righteous judgment of God. What makes you cry? I hope we weep over those who will not receive Jesus. But it may be that someone here today, either in church or watching online, has not yet made that decision to follow Jesus. You haven't accepted him as your Savior and King. And if that's the situation, then my prayer is that today God would open your eyes and you would recognize the time of God's coming to you. The time of God's coming to you. Because that's what's happening this morning. This morning, through my words, inadequate as they are, God in Jesus is coming to you. Jesus is being presented to you, I hope, as God who came into this world in order to bring peace in heaven. That's why he came. And we've been reminded later in this week, he came to die a dreadful death upon a cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins, so that there might be peace between us and God, so that we might be restored as God's children, forgiven, accepted, loved, righteous because of Jesus Christ. This morning, Jesus is coming to you. And Jesus is offering you this peace. And my prayer is that God would open your eyes to see and receive Jesus as Saviour and King. My prayer, using those words of Jesus, is that you would know on this day what would bring you peace. And if you're thinking about that, well, please do ask me afterwards for a little leaflet, Two Ways to Live, and I'll give you that to help explain how this can happen. But today, friends, we remember, we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem as God, King, and Saviour. We see that he came as the Messiah to bring peace between God and humanity through his death on the cross. And we praise God. We praise God for that grace and mercy to us. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, many of us, read this story so many times. We know it. But I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us who know that story, accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord, to have that same sadness for a world that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you would strengthen us as we seek to share his love and grace with neighbours, friends, out into the world. But then, Father, for anyone who perhaps is still wondering about Jesus, I do pray, Father, that you would open eyes, open hearts to see and receive Jesus as King and Saviour. Amen.